Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here, Getaway Friday, April 24th, 2026. Last Friday in the month of April, 14 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan, and the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Oh, I did want to mention this. In the mail yesterday, I got a letter. You know, you don't get these hand-addressed letters much anymore. And this was the this letter was from the Friends of Sherrod Brown, and I thought, oh, it's campaign literature. So, but it was handwritten on the envelope, so I thought that was kind of odd, my name and address. So I opened it up, and it was a note that's handwritten. It says, Sherrod Brown for Ohio. Scott, enjoyed the conversation. See you in Marion, Sherrod. And it's handwritten.
Wasn't that nice?
Well, that's very polite.
I think that's good.
Of him. Now, that's how you should run a campaign. It's nice to write thank you notes. I remember in the day when people had courtesy and wrote thank you notes.
There's nothing wrong with a thank you note, but I mean, I could just send you a text and do the same thing.
No, I don't know if it's the same thing.
If
it was a text, I wouldn't be talking about it this morning like this. This reminded me.
It's just like 10 times faster.
No, but I can't. I'm not going to print off a text.
Not even 10 times. It's like infinitely faster. It takes days.
So I thank Sherrod Brown for that. See, he knew he made a mistake when he came here and did not talk. Did not alert the media that he was going to be here. But I think that's nice, I thank him for that.
Well, yeah, I think you want to talk. I think that's kind of the point, isn't it?
Well, but he didn't alert all the media, and that's why he ended up doing the interview that he did. And there we were.
Well, yeah. But
so once it was out of the bag, now he's writing a thank you letter, which is good. I never got a thank you letter from him before, so I appreciate that. All right, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Who sent you a thank you letter? Nobody.
I've gotten thank you letters.
From who?
like people whose weddings I attended.
No, I'm talking about guests on the show.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
None.
Yeah,
zero. See, but you tried to slide in there with a campaign lie. 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say, give us a buzz. But I think the letter writing era may be over, and that's sad, I guess, is what that says.
There's just no point anymore.
Well, there is a what does that mean?
Like, I can email you.
I don't want your email.
It's faster.
I can text you.
It's faster. I can call you. We can talk real time from anywhere in the world.
We did talk.
You want me to write you a letter and ship it via snail mail, and it's going to take like 3 days to get to you. And then
I don't think you understand.
It's just.
Okay. The man is running for office.
Yep.
The man sent it because obviously I would talk about it, which I did.
Yeah.
There was a point. That's why he did it. It's the same thing with Christmas cards. Don't email me a Christmas card. I'm not going to print it off. I'm not going to keep it. I'll probably keep that. That's a good thing to have.
Are you supposed to keep Christmas cards? I don't keep Christmas cards. What am I going to do with Christmas cards?
I don't think you're getting a whole lot of Christmas cards.
I get Christmas cards.
From who? Who's sending you Christmas cards?
Like family people.
Huh?
Like family people. There's still people in my family who, like, you know, exchange Christmas cards.
Family? I'm not talking about family. Christmas cards used to come from people you knew, acquaintances, people you worked with. That's where the Christmas cards came from. You see the people in your family.
Well, not really. I mean, I see, like, my mom, my dad, and, like, my grandparents.
Okay.
I mean, I got, like, aunts, uncles, cousins. I mean, my family's massive.
Are they Sherrod Brown? Do people, or like a senator, long-term senator from Ohio?
Could be.
No, they're not.
I don't know. My family's huge. Maybe I'm related to Sherrod Brown somewhere along the line.
No, I'm saying, are they? Are the people are the Christmas cards you've thrown away, are they of anybody of note?
Like
anybody I would know.
Anybody you would know? Probably not.
Okay, so that's probably why you are not keeping them.
I mean,
like Phyllis Diller's Christmas cards. I have Phyllis Diller's Christmas cards. I was not just going to throw that in the garbage can. I have the amazing Kriskin's Christmas cards that he sent me over the years. I'm not going to throw those in the garbage. Mary Ellen Withrow's Christmas cards. Not going to throw those in the garbage. And people do like this stuff. Years later, do you know what's funny? Because I think somebody now is doing a history on WMRN, which is over 80 years old, and they can't find stuff like this now. They love finding stuff like this now. Handwritten notes from politicians in that day who are no longer with us, who are gone, things that went on like this, they can't find those now. Now, they don't mean much at the time, but it's the future. Do you know how much history books and documentaries are produced now just off letters that people wrote?
Well, the majority of history books are based on, I mean, I don't know about letters.
Go to any historian and ask them where they get their information. Right, but if they hadn't kept the letters, wouldn't mean anything. And you know who didn't keep their letters? Thomas Jefferson.
And
that's why he gets a, we don't really know much about him.
Well, that's good.
No, I don't think it's good in history's position.
I think it's fine.
Well, that's you. So one against 100 billion.
I support Thomas Jefferson's decisions.
What was in the letters?
I don't know.
But you know what? We do know because the people he sent letters to kept them. So, he didn't get around it.
Well, see, just don't talk to it. See, that's why you just don't send letters.
So, you just don't want anybody to know anything about history. History is unimportant to you.
Oh, no,
firsthand history is unimportant.
Oh, no, I like history.
Well, then why would you want people to throw away their letters?
I don't know.
You're not making any sense today.
Back when they were useful, maybe.
You think they're not useful today? Do you know David McCullough? They used all John Adams' letters.
It said, Scott, enjoyed the interview. See you when I'm a Marion or whatever. I could have sent that on a text 12 times.
But I'm not going to print it out.
Like 100. You didn't have to print that out. He just sent it to you.
No, but I will keep this. And when somebody's going through things from the radio career, they'll find this. And they'll say, oh, Sherrod Brown must have been on the show on this particular date. And that's what he said. And, oh, you know, Sherrod Brown in that era was sending thank you notes, handwritten thank you notes. That certainly says something about the man.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Everything says something about somebody, especially something out of the ordinary.
Well, sure.
And this is not the ordinary.
Yeah, I get it. No, yeah, people don't write letters anymore.
There you go.
Because it's pointless.
But because people don't write them anymore, it is pointful. It does have a point.
I don't know.
Well, you don't know much.
I just don't know that that's the case.
You're not making any case for it. I've told you 5 reasons why writing letters are important, and you have said nothing.
You just said
not important.
You have the archives. What do you need that for?
Not everybody's looking at the archive. And the archives don't tell me that he sent a letter.
If I was going to do a history of WWGH and WGH Talk, I guarantee you first place I'm going is the archives.
Well, you better get some paper copies because they will tell you things that were going on behind the scenes. I'm not going to say, but there are plenty of things that I have found in history papers that you're not going to hear about during an on-air interview. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, you know, the Christmas card, Scott, is more personable. You know, it used to be when you went into a business or something, you know, they had their Christmas cards, you know, on the wall or on a table.
And
you know,
people wrote notes in them.
Mom used to put Christmas cards on the table and stuff, but she got that year, you know, around Christmas. Speed ain't always the thing.
I agree.
It's like auto racing, drag racing. Okay? You got to dial in. And if you go over your dialed in time, you lose. Speed is not always the best thing.
You know what's interesting? Okay, I'll give you a perfect example here. Probably the biggest name ever to come out of Marion Radio was Rod Serling. Rod Serling went on to do The Twilight Zone. He had a place in television history, died fairly young in the 1970s, but he did intern at WMRN Radio. But being an intern, when he was there, nobody knew he was going to be Rod Serling of the Twilight Zone. He did very little on-air work because he was just an intern. And there's not much known about it. If you would go back and, hey, let's listen to Rod Serling on the air, well, you're probably going to find, like, him maybe voicing over a commercial for Sutton and Leitner. And you may find him, like, doing a D-Day remembrance, voicing it over. That's about it. But you know how you know about Rod Serling's time at WMRN? Notes that he wrote when he was there. Scripts that he was sending off to other places. Now, you don't know that at the time, but 20 years later, when he becomes the national host of The Twilight Zone on television and everybody knows who he is, then, you know, I would go to Madge Cooper's house and she had a framed letter from Rod Serling on the wall. And also, people write stuff in letters they will not say in interviews. It's just a different thing.
Oh, yeah. You know, and you might get a letter from, let's say, the president. Well, who wants a letter from him? But if we had a normal president, you get a letter from him. You get a letter from him before he was president. You know, and you keep that letter. Okay, eventually he gets to, you know, to be a president or a famous person. What are you going to do? You going to save the text?
Right, you're not going to save the text. You're not going to save the email.
So this person you knew that sent you a text 20 years later, you ain't going to have that text.
So I'm supposed to let this letter, any letter or Christmas card or things, I'm just supposed to just let them sit for 20 years on the off chance that somebody becomes a celebrity so I can be like, look, I got this before they were. It's just point. Like,
I think you're missing the point.
It's just, I would.
You notice how he gets hot about
it. I would rather just be efficient. Letters
people
just, there's no point.
Like
take too much time.
Because they are hoping that they're going to get, you know, famous or something like that. You know, if somebody, you met at a family doings or something, if they sent you a letter, you might be apt to keep that and put that in your memento box or something.
All I'm saying is, I guarantee you, the people who were at WMRN 80-plus years ago did not say to themselves, you know, I bet people are going to be doing a research website on us in 85 years, and they're going to need information that is not provided by whatever audio survived 85 years. They weren't thinking like that. But you know what? Pictures, big deal now. Because if they weren't taken, they weren't taken. Letters, big deal now. You find out what the owner of WMRN was thinking, because that's what he was writing. You think he got on the air and did meeting minutes? No, it didn't happen that way. But those tell you so, because they're dead, you can't even ask them now. You know, that tells you so much firsthand stuff that was going on at that time. People bend over backwards for that stuff.
Yeah, you know, cell phones, you know, they can be good in a way, but, you know, there's too many negatives to them, too. I watch on YouTube, you know, where they have the cops pull people over, and they may be claiming they're sovereign citizens, or they, you know, claiming, you know, if a cop asks them to get out of the car, you know, they claim that they don't have to get out of the car, or they don't have to give them, you know, their driver's license, because they deem they did nothing wrong. You know, and almost every person that a cop goes up to is on the dang cell phone, trying to get a hold of daddy, trying to get a hold of their lawyer. You know, it's just ridiculous.
It's a different world. Hey,
yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Good interviews.
Have you enjoyed these this week?
Huh?
Have you enjoyed them this week?
Well, I haven't listened much this week, but I listened to the two I think you had yesterday.
Oh, yeah. That
was Wesley and Davis.
Yeah, that was quite the interview, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Later.
Yeah, yesterday was an interesting morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 28 minutes past the hour. But yeah, I think it's a forgotten art, and you know, we've learned so much from things like that. So I like it. I think it's very important. But if nobody wants to know anything 100 years from now, that's fine. About the time we live in, that's good too. 740-383-9944 if you have anything that's on your mind. It's kind of like that thing you got in years ago about calling people Mr. You hate that. I think you hate all norms is really what the problem is.
Okay.
Oh, you agree. That's good.
I mean, oh, sure.
See, we finally got to an agreement.
I think society has just got some backwards logic sometimes.
Now, what's the backward logic?
I don't know. Letters just, I don't think they make any sense. I mean, there's a lot of things. It doesn't make any sense.
If I write a letter saying, you know, I'm really in financial trouble, I need you to bail me out, could you please help me? Now, how would anybody ever know that if I didn't write that letter and somebody didn't find it years from now?
Why do we need to know that you were in financial hardships and needed somebody to bail you out?
Because people, that's what sells books now. People want to know we know all the big stories. We know the stuff that was public. We know the stuff that was in the newspapers at the time. We don't want to know that. We already know it. We've been told that 50 bazillion times. We want to know the stuff we don't know.
I want to know useful things. In what world was that useful to me that you were broke?
Because
I don't care.
Because it tells you what was going on behind the business at that time and maybe some of the decisions that were going on. Because we get a false perspective of what's going on because people don't talk about that in the time.
It just seems kind of irrelevant. Kind of pointless. I mean, like, anything, like, I don't know. You could make a post on social media. You could send an email. You could send a text. Like, of all the things...
Like, here's the point I'm at.
They sent letters in, like, the 1800s because there was no other... Like, you could literally, like, get a telegram. I'd literally rather be telegraphed.
I don't understand what the... what's the difference?
Of what?
I guess...
It's the amount of time. It's efficiency. It's just... I think that is the difference. It's all just more efficient.
Yeah, but who's going to be combing through emails? Because texts are so pointless. Letters were written with a point because they did take time. You had to take pen to paper. You had to pay for the stamp. You had to address the envelope. You weren't just going to write, LOL. You weren't just going to write, how you doing? You weren't just going to write, good for you. That wasn't letter writing. You're talking about two completely separate different things.
Yes, I know how to write a letter.
Well, you should do more of it.
No!
I think you're missing the
point. It's useless. Pointless. I don't want to.
I'll give you a reason where it's not pointless. Well, give me a point. Let me get in here. I'll tell you why it's not pointless. A lot of people in Marion know, and it was always in her biographies of Madge Cooper, that she had won the first Franny Award, Fashion Reporters Award, New York. Now, that's what they would say, because that's what you can say in a press release. Won one of the first Franny Awards. Now, who's alive who was at the Franny Awards reception back in 1960, whatever it was? Nobody. Nobody's alive who was at that reception. So, how do we know what went on? Well, you know how we know what went on? Because when she won it, there was a Western Union telegraph sent out to the station. Now, what does that mention? That mentions what date the reception was. That mentions where the reception was. That mentions what hotel was there, which probably is not there anymore. It mentions who the mayor of New York was at the time and that he was at the reception. It mentions the movie stars who are no longer with us who were also at that reception. So you get a much greater perspective of how big that was and what really was going on at that time that you don't get anywhere else. And had that Western Union not been sent or kept, you would never know that.
Okay.
How are you going to know that?
It's an award ceremony. It's like every other award ceremony.
But it's not.
It is.
Some people...
Everything you just listed off is exactly what happens at an award ceremony. It's the same thing.
How do you know? How do you know for sure if there's no letter?
What do you mean?
How do you know it was like every other award ceremony if there's no letter telling you what happened?
Are the Frannies still around?
Nope.
Okay, then. What's the matter? They're dead. Gone. Bygones be bygones. Let it...
No, they just transformed into something else.
Okay, well, then it sounds like it evolved.
But you don't know that if there's no letter. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Matt, do you know the proper way to construct a letter?
Yes. They teach you to write letters in school. I don't know if they still do. I learned to write letters in school. And as a matter of fact, I learned to write emails in school because they were like, wow, letters are pointless. We should teach people to write emails.
He seemed very upset about this.
The letter you're sending, do you put the party's name on there that you're sending it to? Do you put your address on that letter? Do you know the proper ways to put those two addresses on the letter?
Are you talking about how to mail it out?
Do you incorporate a greeting in that letter?
Are you talking about how to mail it out?
No, how you write the letter, how you construct the letter. You just don't write there on the letter and enjoy the pizza we had together, you know, and sign your name to it and put it in an envelope. That's not a letter.
I know.
It's a proper way you just, you compose your letter.
Yeah, they taught us how to write letters in school.
I almost guarantee you, you wouldn't be able to write a letter the proper way.
Okay, well, we'll have to just agree to disagree on that.
Check?
Yes, I know how to write a check. We also learned how to do that in school.
Have you ever had a checking account?
Yes, I have a checking account now.
Okay, well, that's cool.
How do you feel about the historic nature of letters?
I think it's just so much more personal when you send letters. Okay, you know, years ago especially, you know, people had love letters. You know, that they, you know, how they communicated, especially if it was long distance, you know. And people, especially the women, saved the love letters, you know. Especially during times of war, there was letters going back and forth, you know, to the guys in the war. Well, you know, nowadays, you know, you can text your guy, you know, over there in the war, or he can text you, or you can even be on FaceTime where you, you know, talk to him and you know, see him over the screen. How many people's gonna save them? But 50 years later, you know, you find your letters that your grandma kept that your grandpa sent to her.
Well, look at President Harding. Because Nan Britton destroyed the letters from President Harding, in her lifetime, she was always called a fraud because she had no proof. Nobody believed her. And it wasn't until 25 years after her death that we found out, oh, wait a second, because of DNA, it was true. Now, had she kept the letters, nobody would have ever doubted her. And why was Carrie Phillips found out to be a true story? Because she kept the letters, and they found the letters. And why is Harding thought to be of a bad husband? Because of the things he wrote in the letters.
Yeah.
Those letters don't exist. We don't know any of that.
Yeah, nobody's going to save emails and, you know, texts and stuff like that. You know, a lot of kids anymore don't even know how to write in cursive. You know.
And a lot of times now, here's going to be a big problem with emails. A lot of, even if somebody can pull them up years from now, you know, you used to be able to tell if it was somebody's letter and not a forgery because of their penmanship. Was it their signature? Was it their penmanship? How can you tell in an email? You can't.
And there's so many abbreviations that they have, you know, that you use in texts and stuff like that. I mean, they can't, you know, actually take the time, you know, if they want to say, you want to do that tomorrow, you know, they'll put a 2 and more, you know.
Well, I mean,
like
I think I think we could figure that out. But the problem is going to be if you had 1,500 emails from Harding to his mistress, love letters, well, how do you really know they were from him?
Yeah.
How do you know he wrote them? You really don't.
And if you have a sister like mine, you might get text after text after text because she's mad at you. And when she sends you those texts, she's abbreviating things. You don't even really know why she's mad at you because you can't understand what she's actually saying.
You know, it's very interesting. I was having a conversation last night with somebody younger than me, and it was a text conversation. And at one point, they could not get sarcasm in a text. So if they couldn't get it and they were a part of the conversation, how is somebody 50 years later looking at that going to get that?
How is somebody who reads a letter from 50 years ago going, it's the same thing, you were reading it. There's no inflection of voice. I can't hear
because
your voice. Like,
well, now, wait a second.
Right now, my voice is raised, and I'm talking at, you know, a faster pace. If I wrote this, if I wrote everything I just said in a letter right now, you're just going to read it.
Right.
In a slow, calm, reading kind of a voice.
But I'm going to know it.
You're not going to know the tone.
I'm going to know.
It's not the same thing. Can't tell sarcasm because it's all inflection.
Well, did you ask a question or did you want an answer?
It was a point.
So, but even though it was a question, you said, how do you know? So you really don't want an answer.
Well, you can tell me an answer if there's an answer. I just don't think there is.
The answer is, again, because of what we said earlier. It's easy to sit down and rip off an email. You're having a conversation with somebody in text messaging. You will say something sarcastic. Letters aren't like that. You're not having a conversation with somebody. You're writing them something. You're much more detailed, and you're much more to the point because you know how they're receiving it. Texts aren't like that.
And, you know, a lot of times expect the letter in return.
Yeah. Like,
you know?
The reason I was sarcastic was because of what she was writing. Letters aren't like that. You're not reacting to what they've sent you.
But, you know, technology is destroying our civilization still.
I mean, somebody might read those text messages and say, oh, he's very serious about that. But no, you got to read the 20 text messages before to understand where the conversation was going. Letter is a letter. I sent it to you. People aren't sending joke letters. And if they are sending a joke letter, you've got a pretty good idea it's a joke letter because of the size of it. Texts are lines.
Yeah, but I think letters get more credence because the person actually took their time, personally, took the time to sit down and write you that letter and sign their name to it.
Right, and how many times in a letter does somebody write, just kidding, or P.S., that was a big... You never see P.S.'s anymore anywhere else other than letters.
And
so
proper way on a letter, where you put that P.S. to. And I bet you, if you talk to a lot of kids these days, you know, they wouldn't even know what, you know, those stand for.
It's interesting. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944 if you have anything to say. Well, who would have known we'd got this much time off a letter? I'm glad this letter came in because we wouldn't have had this conversation. I got 30 minutes out of a letter.
That's good.
Thank you, Sherrod Brown. See, there's a whole other problem or interesting thing with a letter. Conversation starter.
I was going to start sending letters to people.
I think you should.
Yep, I was going to start writing hand.
It would say more.
Letters.
It would say more.
It would say the same exact thing that I could just say
not
in
really.
An email. But okay,
we might
pass that.
Not really. 740-383-9944. We'd know you sent it because it would have your penmanship in there. 740-383-9944. God, how many people get scammed nowadays with fake emails from people?
Don't open emails from people you don't know. It's simple as. I think internet security is very simple.
They open and they read
them. Don't go opening links. Don't open websites that you shouldn't be going to. Don't open links from emails that you don't know.
A lot of times they read the emails. And then you click on the link after you've read it. Because they do seem authentic.
Okay, I don't have the patience to describe email security to people, so I was...
Well, I know somebody got hacked yesterday and then had to send out an email saying they were hacked. Don't open up these emails from me. I guess they were just a, what, buffoon?
Anytime somebody sends you a link, it's like, no, it's not worth the time. It'd be too confusing to explain.
Letter writing is important. 740-383-9944. Just ask John Adams. Oh, you can't. But if you read his letters, you could find out how important he thought it was. Okay, well, what else is on the agenda here today? Well, what do you think of what happened in Iran?
What about it?
Well, nothing. I mean, there's a blockade, but apparently there's an indefinite ceasefire.
Oh, so you're just talking about, like, the as a whole?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant, like, there was something that happened. Oh, I mean, I think that if we want a ceasefire, I think we should probably ceasefire. I mean, it seems pretty common sense to me. You know, I don't think that if we want a ceasefire, I mean, the Pentagon had said that they were going to start raiding, search and seizures, I guess is the term they would use, vessels from Iran or heading to Iran and things like that. In international waters, even, they're gonna, like, if they find them, they're gonna hunt them down and search and seize. And I don't think we want. I don't think we want a ceasefire. I think if we wanted a ceasefire, we would probably not be doing any of this.
Well, that's what we got.
A fake ceasefire.
Well, nothing's going on.
I mean, ships have been raided and confiscated. I mean, we just haven't...
We're not bombing anybody.
Okay.
I think that's the whole point of a ceasefire.
There's still, like, I don't know. Ships are still being fired upon.
Well, all I know, $50 billion has been spent on this war with a B. And apparently that's more than has been spent on defense in this country since World War II.
Well, missiles are expensive.
Right. That's why continuing to bomb somebody is usually not a prudent thing to do if you are a president. Very expensive. And you have a budget.
I don't know why people think bombs are so effective.
Well, because you don't have to send troops over.
Yeah, but if I drop a bomb on you, it's not like you don't have any bombs and you're just going to roll over and do whatever I say. You're just going to bomb me back.
Well, they don't bomb us.
Well, they bomb military bases.
Right, but people don't see that in the same way as getting attacked on your homeland.
they could raid embassies. I mean, there are all kinds of little, like, dots of U.S., if that makes sense.
You know, I think this is an interesting story because I think this is also a relatable story. Tucker Carlson has apologized for endorsing President Trump and says he will be tormented by it for a long time. Now, do you believe that he'll be tormented by it for a long time? Tormented's a big word.
I mean, maybe. I would think that if I voted for Donald Trump, I'd be a little disappointed in myself right now.
Yeah, but do you believe him, Tucker Carlson?
Yeah, sure. I got no reason to not believe him. I don't even think he'd like Trump before he endorsed him.
If you'd have read his letters, you would you'd know what he's all about.
I watch his show. I don't anymore.
See, but we don't know what he means on his show, because apparently he's saying all kinds of stuff.
Well, he used to not be nuts.
Only if the man had some letters. You know what we found out about Tucker Carlson and his letters? Because that's how we found out he said he couldn't stand Trump. Was because of his letters. That wasn't what he was saying on the air.
Those were emails.
Yeah, letters.
Emails are not letters. We just went over this entire conversation. At that point, send everybody emails.
I did not say emails were not letters. I said that letters are more effective. But emails can do their thing.
Okay, well... Okay.
He didn't deny it.
Just skim right past the fact that you agreed with me there, but alright, cool.
Well, I don't think I agreed with you at all.
I don't know.
But do you listen to me at all? What did I say?
That you would know how he felt if you read his letters.
But what did I say in regard to emails versus letters?
That they're not the same thing.
Right, they're not. I said emails are okay in certain cases. I email, but they're not as effective as letters. So if you're talking about replacing letter writing with emails completely, No, and that's the argument I'm having earlier. Do I email? Of course I email. Do I write handwritten letters 90% of the time? No. But if you stop it completely, you are eliminating a big part of things. You said it's completely useless. That's the difference. If Leanne went and see, you were speaking in a definitive. I was not speaking in a definitive.
A written language is, I mean, writing things down.
Oh, God, not back to letters.
Writing things down.
I wanted to talk about Tucker Carlson.
It's good. It's good to write things down. I'm not disagreeing with that.
Then what's the difference?
I don't see, like, you just send the same thing in a letter via email.
I'm saying what Tucker Carlson wrote in an email, if there was no access to email and he had to write a letter, it would have been longer and more detailed. But because it was what it was, it was what it was. You have to take what you can get. Which is why I'm sorry that letter writing is going by the wayside. I hope it doesn't go completely by the wayside.
You want to know why you had to be so descriptive in letters? Because if you wanted to send a letter to somebody, it would take ages for it to get there. And then by the time it got there, because if you didn't fully describe...
If I'm going to tell you that I really hate Trump, why does it have to be there tomorrow?
If you didn't fully describe the situation, then, you know, it doesn't really matter. Because they're going to be lost anyways.
Letters were not really things that you needed to know right away.
Well, I don't know about that.
That was the point. They were more... You're making the point now. You're exactly right. They were more introspective. It wasn't in the moment that you needed to know what I was telling you. It was more introspective
there
things.
There were all kinds.
Do you know how many people... Do you know how big chain letters were at one point? Do you know how big a deal it was when you got a letter, you sent a thank you note? I mean, that was how society worked. We don't have that anymore.
We picked up the pace.
No, but we eliminated it. It just isn't there.
It was slow and inefficient.
Again, we have a lot of history.
Let's just bring back the Pony Express.
Okay, well, it's fine. Again, I'm talking about Tucker Carlson, though. Do you believe that he's authentic in this? Or
yeah,
do you
I have no reason to disagree with him.
Well, I'm not done yet with the sentence, but okay, let's try again. Do you believe that he's authentic in this, or is he just doing this to get clicks? Because Trump is not very popular right now.
Well...
See, you could answer that quickly, but in a letter, you would have heard the whole question. You'd have read the whole question, and you could have got the full answer.
I think it was going to be both.
It can't be both.
It can be both. Two things can be true at a time.
If you
already didn't like Trump.
Now, wait a second. What I'm saying is, it cannot be both, because if you're doing it strictly because it will get you likes, then that's why you're doing it. Then it means you really like the person.
Yeah, but like if he voted for Donald Trump, Donald Trump could have been like the most popular president of all time, but for some reason Tucker Carlson dislikes Donald Trump after the election. You know, I don't know that Tucker Carlson would come out and make the whole big spiel about Donald Trump because Donald Trump would be popular. But he doesn't like Donald Trump, and Donald Trump isn't popular. Win-win.
So you think he was inauthentic when he endorsed him?
Yes.
Okay. There you go. But he wouldn't say it because it was unpopular.
Yeah.
So he is doing this for popularity.
I don't know. I think this
because if Donald Trump was still popular, he'd still be toeing that line, is what you're saying.
Probably.
So it's popularity.
I guess.
There we go. Either or.
I could get behind that.
Not both.
Well, I mean, if he liked Donald Trump and Donald Trump was unpopular, I don't think he would have. I don't think he would have backed Trump.
But there would be no conversation today because why would he have to change his stance? If he always said he disliked him, there'd be no point. You've already said it.
But if he liked Trump, and then Trump was unpopular,
right? That's different.
I don't know. I don't know that he would. He would go after Trump because he likes Trump.
Which is the question? So that's which is this? Did he really like Trump, and now he's turned his back on him because he thinks he's wrong, or is he doing it for clicks? Or did he never like the man?
Never liked the man.
And he's doing this for clicks now because being a Trump supporter is not popular.
Well,
candidates are doing that all over the state of Ohio right now. You don't see Trump in any ad. You don't see people talking about a Trump endorsement. People are... That is a liability right now in Ohio if you're a Republican. Now, it wasn't last year.
Yeah. I'd say that's true.
So, which is reality?
Well, I don't know. You gotta ask those people.
So, I guess the bigger question here is, do you forgive somebody in your life if you don't like something that they say, if they completely change?
Yep.
Oh, you forgive anybody, huh?
There's no reason to hold a grudge. I mean, it might be one of those things where, like, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. I mean, like, I'll remember it happened.
I think it depends on what it is.
But what's the point of holding a grudge about it?
Like, recently I had I don't want to say it was a fall. It wasn't really a falling out, because I was still talking to the person. But you could tell they were a little angry. And I was, see, this is again is the text world. I texted them something, and they got a little moody about it. And I thought that was silly. But I think it's been patched up now.
Oh, I don't know. I think just text her. Not.
I told this story, didn't I?
Which one?
The one I'm telling right now.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, all I said to the person, totally a joke. Again, wasn't taken that way through text. But I had said something to them, and they did not respond. And I saw it sitting there, not getting responded to. So I just said, hey, I just wanted to check in on you. Every time I see a mediocre person, I think of you. Now, to me, that was a joke, but the response I got almost immediately after the person not answering it for almost a day, they did not think that was a joke. Their response was something like, this is why we don't talk very much anymore.
I still think it's how you read it, not, I mean, it really has got to, because it's...
If I said that to you, would you, oh yeah, he's serious. He thinks I'm a mediocre person.
No, but like when people insult me in general, I just like, well, there's no point in getting upset about it. Usually I just laugh. I mean, like, what else you want me to do? Get upset?
This person did.
Like, it's just, as a matter of fact, I tend to get upset about like small, smaller, stupid things.
But their response made me laugh because I knew I meant it as a joke and that they got so hot about it to say such a vicious thing.
It's just how they read it. Gotta be
right, but why respond with negativity, which was the conversation I was talking about earlier? This took down a gubernatorial candidate this week. If she would have just shut up after she made the initial claim, I don't like my lieutenant governor, I don't like the way he treats women. Okay, he fired back, he did, you know, you're dramatic, you're a lunatic, da-da-da. If it would have stopped right there, that would have been it. But it wasn't. She had to come back and say, you used the N-word on me, you called me a bitch, you pulled me close in photo shoots, and then he came back and said, I wouldn't pull you close in a photo shoot, you're disgusting. And then she came back and I've found out information about your ex-wives and you abused them. And what did it do? He went right to the Secretary of State's office, withdrew his candidacy, ended her campaign. If it had stopped after the initial
why was it made public to begin with? I feel like
I think she made it public to say he's not with the campaign anymore. That was okay. And he was going to if you say something nasty about somebody to the public, they're going to respond.
I thought, well, I'm confused. So this was after he left the, left the ticket?
They had had a conversation after this. Who knows what really happened, but there was some rally last Friday in which they parted ways. Her statement on it was, because of how he treated wife and treated women, my advisors were upset. Okay, he fired back, called her a lunatic, said that wasn't true, da-da-da-da-da. If it had stopped there, she'd still be on the ballot today. But no, it had to get worse and worse. You know, going to the Earth's crust.
Well,
because he said yesterday he would not have gone to the Secretary of State at that point. He said what got him to the Secretary of State was when she went after his ex-wives. And he said he cannot prison minister anymore because his the person, his minister, has went to him now and said, I don't think these are true, but because they've been made publicly, we have to pull you off this now. And he also said he would not sue her off the earlier comments. Now he's going to sue her because he believes she has damaged his character. And you know what? If it had stopped after the initial fire and somebody would have taken the high road, why not campaign instead of this? Now, you got no campaign.
Why didn't she just go to this guy and be like, look, I got some concerns I need to ask you about?
I think there was a blow-up between the two of them, which happens. But why take it to the media?
I don't think that was great.
No. And why, when he fired back on you and said, that's not true, you're a deranged lunatic, why fire back at that point? You've said what you needed to say. You've said he's not with your campaign anymore.
I think that, yeah, if you felt the need to do something publicly, I think you should have said your piece and then left it alone. I mean, I guess he said his piece, but then, yeah, I would have just been like, all right, cool, and then left it be.
And he said, had it stopped there, it would have been done. But the problem was when she went after his wives. That's when he went to the Secretary of State's office. So, there you go. We'll be back right after this.
From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or can't, can you do something in the Bozo voice for those people?
You know...